This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 414. Today I speak to you from a place where the rain is coming down, so if you hear that in the background, don't be distressed. It's not my microphone giving out, it's just the rain. Today Kane asks, how emotionally connected to / invested do we need to be in order to make our ideas form into fiction? When watching the documentary The Toys That Made Us on Netflix and hearing the toy developers speaking about developing / redeveloping toy lines such as G.I. Joe and He-Man, the men involved were often just throwing ideas up against the wall and seeing what stuck. In fact, in the case of He-Man, to hear them talk about it years later, oftentimes they were just sort of winking at the fans or even making fun of the fans when creating characters and storylines. Sometimes a purely mathematical business decision proved to be very lucrative and the fan base's favorite characters. For example, the original six figures released as G.I. Joe American Hero included Snake Eyes. Ah, my personal favorite. The initial cost was too much. There had to be less details. It was decided that instead of taking away from all of the first run release characters, they'd simply strip down one to practically nothing, Snake Eyes, and he instantly became, / remains, the favorite figure of the lines. I realize that toy lines and fiction are not one-to-one, but I wonder if an author needs to be all that emotionally invested in the ingredients of the stew that goes into making fiction. This idea seems to ring true to me when I think about writing fiction using Lester Dent's murder method formula plastered all over the web. If you're using that, you can't be all that invested in a random antagonist you generate out of thin air to get you through to the next scene. Well, this is true, and you're onto something important. Emotional investment doesn't really matter. It's one of the reasons that writing every day actually works. What matters is presence in the story. If you're putting something together cynically and just trying to hit certain beats and that's all you're doing, then you will quite frequently come up with something hollow. However, you can still come up with something hollow when you're really earnestly emotionally invested. Because art is not about authenticity. Authenticity can be a bonus, but it's not the point of the game. Art shares the same root word as artificial. It's short for artifice. It's something crafted, something made. The reason that different writing coaches and writers who give advice, myself included, tend to advocate something like being emotionally present in your fiction and whatnot is not because the emotional presence will help your fiction. It's because for a lot of people, jumping deep into the emotion is the most efficient way to get around the problem of self-censorship. It's not the proper way for everybody, and the more advanced you get as the writer, the less it matters. And really, when you're at the beginning, it doesn't matter. It's just a fairly reliable way, so it's a good training wheels type of program to advocate. What matters is that the story is whole in and of itself. If you're in a flow state when you're writing, or you can disengage your self-criticism enough to approximate one, you're more likely to treat the story as a thing in itself, as an end in itself, and come up with something that is true in and of itself. And I don't mean telling the truth in a sort of expository way. I mean creating proper verisimilitude, the illusion of coherence. That is what you're looking for. Learning to work to a formula or a beat sheet like Lester Dent's is really, really valuable. It's one of the reasons that I'm slowly putting together my big book of formulas, which I hope to have out sometime this year. It's really, really important because there's part of art is stealing from other people, and people who've come up with great story structures are absolutely primed to be stolen from. And B, because properly employed, a good story formula takes a lot of the admin out of the writing business. You don't have to worry about creating a story structure from scratch. You can pull one off the shelf so that you've got a lot of the fiddly bits out of the way and you can just relax and tell your story. But the point is just relaxing and telling your story. It doesn't matter the intensity of the emotional investment you have. The readers will never be able to tell. The difference for me between something I write on what for me is a good day and what for me is an awful day, and what for me is a day filled with pain, because I deal with chronic, recurring neck pain that cripples me literally sometimes, is not distinguishable by the end reader. And it shouldn't be. The craft is itself. It's like walking. Your emotions, your state of mind, your physical health may dictate how far you can walk on a given day, or where you're inclined to walk on a given day. But unless something is seriously wrong physiologically, it won't really have an effect on your ability to walk on a given day. And walking next door to borrow a cup of sugar from your neighbor is something you can accomplish no matter what your emotional state, unless you're really out on the fringe and prone to wanting to kill people when you get irritable. Or your neighbor is. So, yeah, your emotional state doesn't matter. Emotional investment in what you're doing can really help you get past your reluctance to write, which is why a lot of people advocate it. But it is really dangerous to confuse, as Tom Lehrer said, authenticity with artistic merit. The more authentic and on the nose and direct and from the heart and earnest something is, the more you run the risk of having it be like having someone read your therapy journals. And that's not entertaining to anyone but you, or someone who shares your particular pathologies. What you're seeking to do with your fiction is to create an experience in someone else's mind that is whole and self-contained. They should not need to know you, your state of mind, your emotional makeup, your personality in order to enjoy your work. And if they do, you should be able to recreate the experience of those things in the book so they don't have to know anything about you. People who like your work and tend to stick with you will frequently get to know you, at least a little bit, through your work. But that's not the same thing. You're not trying to make friends here. You're trying to create experiences in other people's heads. And whatever ways you discover that allow you to do that reliably are ways you should keep in your back pocket as part of your writerly toolkit. And though I don't say this frequently, anyone who tells you differently is selling something. And though I don't frequently blanketly disparage other writers' writing advice, this is one time I'd be willing to go out on a limb and say, anyone who says that your emotional investment and authenticity and whatnot have anything to do with the quality of your prose is simply flattering you in order to get your adulation, attention, or money. They're full of shit. What matters is the experience you create in your reader's mind. That's it. How you get there doesn't matter. All the writing advice you'll hear from me and anyone else should be taken with somewhere between a grain of salt and a salt lick, because what we're doing is we're sharing with you the tricks that we have either employed or that we have seen work for other people that get you to that point. If they do not work for you, you should ignore them and find your own way forward. It's worth listening to other writers, even and sometimes especially ones you heartily disagree with, because the reasons that you disagree with them have to do with your basic personality type frequently. They have to do with other things too, but your basic personality type and your culture and the things that go into making you you, they all make you more susceptible to accepting or noticing some things and ignoring or rejecting others. And the value in learning from people who are dissimilar from you is that they can see parts of the world that you are blind to. And so it's worth listening to people with whom you disagree or whom you don't find particularly useful, which is one of the reasons why I voraciously read Stephen King's nonfiction and listen to lectures and interviews he gives. I don't like him as a writer. I very rarely enjoy any of his books. I find many of the attitudes and positions he espouses to be somewhere between uncomfortable and objectionable. But he's really good at what he does. And because we are so different as people, he sees things about the world and about narrative craft and about how to gauge an audience and about how to tell a story that I would be completely blind to for my whole life if I didn't have access to the generosity he displays in helping lift other writers up behind him. And it's my sincere hope that all of you listening have the same experience with me, that I see parts of the world that you don't, and that helps you further your own creative careers and ambitions. And that's why I value feedback from you so much, whether in the form of questions like this one or whether direct feedback or blog comments that I sometimes share on the show and sometimes correspond with privately. Those show me pieces of the world that I am prone not to see. And that broadens my toolkit and it increases my ability to see and understand the world. And that helps my fiction, as well as just helps my quality of life. Thank you very much for sending the question in, Kane. That was a really good one. Always a pleasure to hear from you. And I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.